In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Woman of the Eucharist. Saint Joseph. Our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Triduum, this holy 3 days of this preparation for Easter, which we call the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Lord, begins with Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Our Lord instituted on that night, that first Holy Thursday, as we know, the Eucharist, the Mass. And with it, he also ordained the first apostles to be the first priests to celebrate the Mass, to perpetuate the sacrifice that our Lord instituted on Holy Thursday in sacramental form. We know that our Lord did on Holy Thursday, which he will accomplish in his bodily sacrifice in a bloody way on Calvary the next day. This is the unbloody sacrifice, the Mass, which our Lord instituted on Holy Thursday, but it's the same sacrifice. It is consummated on Good Friday and begun on Holy Thursday with our Lord instituting this great feast, the feast of our redemption, the offering of his body and blood for our salvation. And we heard in the first reading from the book of Exodus what prefigured this offering of our Lord, the Paschal Lamb. In the time of the Exodus, when the Jews were in slavery to the Egyptians, that our Lord asked them to offer this lamb, this Paschal lamb, in sacrifice, and to put the blood of this lamb on the doorposts of their homes, and that wherever this blood was seen, the angel of death would pass over that house, because it was marked with the blood of the lamb. You might say, marked with the salvation. They were marked with God's promise that he would not harm them. They have been made, you might say, in this prefigurement of the Paschal Lamb, friends of God. So the angel of death passes over. And our Lord, though, on Holy Thursday, when he institutes the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, it's not the blood of a lamb that will be on the doorposts of our homes, but rather the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who will be on the lips of poor sinners, who will be reconciled to the Father. And that because we have received the Paschal Lamb, Jesus Christ, in Holy Communion, and that we are not going to be condemned. The angel of death will not have any power over us. Even our Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who eats my body and drinks my blood shall never die. What does he mean by that? Well, it means that the death that you die will not be eternal death, whether bodily, or if you die in the state of grace and you received our Lord worthily throughout your life, you will not suffer eternal death in hell. That you will be found worthy to be with the Lamb for all eternity in that great Eucharistic feast, which is in heaven. The Eucharistic feast that our Lord establishes on Holy Thursday is just a glimpse of that wedding feast, that Eucharistic feast that takes place in heaven now, with Jesus offering himself perpetually to the Father for us poor sinners. And we will be caught up into that great hymn of praise in heaven for all eternity. But the Mass is already this prefigurement, this window into this eternal sacrifice, this eternal wedding feast that our Lord is establishing on Holy Thursday. And that Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, wants to remind us that the Eucharist is something that we have received from our Lord himself. It's not something that the early church made up, that our Lord himself instituted this great sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity when he said, as our St. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that they have given this gift of being able to continue this sacrifice to all those men who have been ordained as priests. First, the apostles received that gift as the first bishops of the church, and then they consecrated men who consecrated men so that we would always have this great gift of Jesus himself in the Blessed Sacrament with us till the end of time. Our Lord does not want to be away from us. He does not want us to be without his companionship. And so he gives that power to men to confect, to bring about the Eucharist every day. Can you imagine now, for over 2,000, almost 2,000 years, since our Lord instituted the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist has been with us every day throughout the world being offered so that man can say that truly God loves us because he doesn't want to be away from us. He wants to be with us. If we're away from our Lord, it's because we choose to be away from him or that we're not able to be with him because we can't go to Mass every day. But our Lord is truly with us every day. He wants to be with us. And as a matter of fact, even St. Alphonsus says, you know, our Lord didn't institute this sacrament like some earthly potentate or king would. You know, a king would only make himself present during certain times. You know, maybe 9 to 5, you could come and see him and be in his presence. And then when 5 o'clock comes, he would go home. He would go back to his castle and say, you can come and see me tomorrow. You can come and see me on my terms. But no, our Lord, he says, is with us 24/7. Even when we're not even here, when we're at home sleeping in our nice comfortable bed, our Lord is here present in the tabernacle. He doesn't leave us. He stays 24/7 for over 2,000 years. He wants to be with us. And he hasn't departed. Matter of fact, that's probably the thing that's most striking about a church on Good Friday is it seems to be such a dead place. When the Blessed Sacrament is not in the Catholic Church, you can almost feel his lack of presence. Because when he is there, you know that it's the house of God, because he is truly with us. But on Good Friday, we get a sense of what it means to be without God, to be without our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to see the church without any kind of decoration, rather stripped bare. That's what our lives are like without Jesus. And our houses are truly empty without him when he's not there by the state of grace. But our churches even reflect that absence of God, you might say, that we experience on Good Friday in a symbolic way. But truly our Lord has not been away from us since the time he instituted the Blessed Sacrament. And he has been with us in this great Eucharistic feast from that day on. And he will be with us, he says, till the end of time. And he will not depart from us. Even if a mother should forget her child, our Lord does not forget us. And then our Lord, in this gospel passage from John, we hear him, you know, after he has given them, you know, the great Eucharistic communion, he has celebrated the first Mass for them. We know that Judas Iscariot has already wanted, he's already planned and has gone out his business to betray our Lord. Our Lord does this very interesting thing. He goes and gets a basin of water and ties a towel around his waist and then goes and wants to wash the feet of his apostles. And Simon Peter doesn't understand. He thinks our Lord is wanting to do something hygienic. And he says, well, if you're going to wash me, then wash my head, wash everything. And our Lord's saying to him, no, I'm not worried about your bodily hygiene. That's not what I'm doing this for. I want to show you what I have just done in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and which I will do tomorrow in my passion, is what our Lord is saying. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash you clean. Because the feet are, you might say, the most humble part of our body. You know, they always stink. You know, even if you wash them every day, the feet still stink. And our feet, you know, they're not exactly, you know, the most pleasant thing. Everybody takes their shoes off in the house, and you know it. And say, put your shoes back on, you know. But it's not the most glorious part of our body, our feet. They're always in touch with the earth. They're always getting, you might say, stubbed. They're always getting in contact with the earth. They're kind of like, remind us of our sinful part. Even, you know, our Achilles heel, our weakest part, is in our foot. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to wash you, your feet. Not because I'm worried about your bodily hygiene, but I'm going to wash you clean from your sins. And I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to make you dignity. I'm going to give you a dignity which is beyond your imagination, because I'm going to wash your feet sacramentally by cleansing you by the water and blood which will flow from my heart on Calvary. And that's why our Lord says that not all are clean, because some refuse to be washed. You know, Simon Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, refused to have his feet washed. He wasn't there because he wanted a different Savior. He wanted more of that earthly potentate that only come between 9 and 5 and wouldn't care about your feet. He'd want you to wash his feet. But our Lord shows by doing it, the Master, washing the feet of his servants, that is what every priest is going to be called to do by the giving of the gift of the sacraments, by especially confession, washing our feet when we get them dirty by sin, washing our feet when he baptizes a baby or an adult and makes them clean again by the blood of Christ, washes their feet when he gives them any kind of, preaches the truth to them, preaches the faith to them. He, in one sense, elevates it. You know, the truth shall set us free, our Lord says. So that is how a priest is to see his duty as to be looking for the lowliest place. He is to be the servant of the servants. He is to be there to do all those things which others would not want to do. He's to go and reconcile sinners. He's to go and take care of the abandoned, those who the society thinks are not at all important. Even Pope Francis today, and on his Holy Thursdays, has tried to go to people who are considered maybe marginalized or, you know, on the fringe or forgotten or considered the lesser in society. He's gone to prisoners, men who have been kind of abandoned. They've been, they've been thrown in jail and they've thrown away the key kind of mentality. And so Pope Francis goes there and washes their feet. He went today, this Holy Thursday, to a house for disabled or elderly people people who are disabled in kind of a house of rehabilitation for people who are abandoned in another way. Maybe thought, well, because they can't walk, can't help themselves, forget about them. And no, Pope Francis goes there to remind us that these are the people that priests and especially the church and any follower of Christ should be on the lookout for, those who the society figures or thinks are not important. And Pope Francis today, in his homily, I just want to share with you a little bit about it, because he talks about the priesthood. And he said, he took as his theme, anointed with the oil of gladness. And he says, dear brother priests, in the eternal today of Holy Thursday, when Christ showed his love for us to the end, we recall the happy day of the institution of the priesthood as well as the day of our own priestly ordination. The Lord anointed us in Christ with the oil of gladness, and this anointing invites us to accept and appreciate this great gift, the gladness, the joy of being a priest. Priestly joy is a priceless treasure, not only for the priest himself, but for the entire faithful people of God, that faithful people from which he is called to be anointed and which he in turn is sent to anoint. Anointed with the oil of gladness so as to anoint others with the oil of gladness. Priestly joy has its source in the Father's love, and the Lord wishes the joy of this love to be ours and to be complete. I like to reflect on joy by contemplating Our Lady, for Mary, the mother of the living gospel, is a wellspring of joy for God's little ones. I do not think it is an exaggeration to say that priest is very little indeed. That a priest is very little indeed. The incomparable grandeur of the gift granted us for the ministry sets us among the least of men. Can you imagine how little we are as men, and yet God gives us powers to absolve sins and to bring, make Him present on the altar? And He says, therefore, they must be the least of all men because they have been given such a great gift. The priest is the poorest of men unless Jesus enriches him by His poverty. The most useless of servants unless Jesus calls him His friend. The most ignorant of men unless Jesus patiently teaches him as He did Peter. The frailest of Christians unless the Good Shepherd strengthens him in the midst of the flock. No one is more little than a priest left to his own devices. And so our prayer of protection against every snare of the evil one is the prayer of our Mother. I am a priest because He has regarded my littleness. And in that littleness we find our joy. For me, there are three significant features of our priestly joy. It is a joy which anoints us, not one which greases us, makes us unctuous, sumptuous, and presumptuous. It is a joy which is imperishable, and it is a missionary joy which spreads and attracts, starting backwards with those farthest away from us. A joy which anoints us. In a word, it has penetrated deep within our hearts. It has shaped them and strengthened them sacramentally. The signs of the ordination liturgy speak to us of the Church's maternal desire to pass on and share with others all that the Lord has given us. The laying on of hands, the anointing with sacred chrism, the clothing with sacred vestments, the first consecration which immediately follows, grace fills us to the brim and overflows fully, abundantly, and entirely in each priest. We are anointed down to our very bones, and our joy, which wells up from the deep within, is the echo of this anointing, an imperishable joy. The fullness of the gift, which no one can take away or increase, is an unfailing source of joy, an imperishable joy which the Lord has promised no one can take from us. It can lie dormant or be clogged by sin or by life's troubles, yet deep down it remains intact like the embers of a burnt log beneath the ashes, and it can always be renewed. Paul's exhortation to Timothy remains ever timely. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. So that joy that we have received as priests is to be fanned into flame. Even Pope Francis, sometimes even he got discouraged or gets discouraged or sometimes has become lacking in the zeal that he should have. But we should pray that the Holy Spirit, that God will fan it into flames, this joy that we have received, this gift of God at ordination. He says that it's a missionary joy, that priests are anointed with the oil of gladness to bring joy to others. And you know that joy comes when we reconcile sinners, when we preach the gospel, when people hear the good news. That brings true joy to them. Hollywood cannot bring that kind of joy. All they can do is entertain, but they cannot bring the joy that never will end, or the joy that truly elevates our spirits. So today, as we reflect on the priesthood and the institution of the Holy Eucharist, we just reflect on how our Lord has blessed us by His presence, and then how He has made Himself present to us in a sacramental form. We still have to exercise faith. The Lord is with us. Just as the apostles and the people who saw our Lord in the flesh had to say, this man is not just a man, but he's the Son of God. We have to exercise faith that when we look at the host or when we look at the precious blood, that we have to say with the same kind of faith, this is truly the Son of God because our Lord has said so. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not have life within you. This is our Lord's great gift to us. This is the great memento. This is the great memorial that is not called to mind like an old feast of history, but rather is made present to us every time we say those words, "This is my body and this is my blood." We make it present. We are there at the first Eucharist. We are there at Calvary. For it's only one, there's only one Mass being offered. It's being renewed every moment that we offer the Mass. But we are always in that one sacrifice of Christ. Let us truly praise and thank God, and to thank Our Lady for her cooperation in giving our Lord his priestly body. Our Lord was anointed a priest in the womb of Our Lady because that's where he received the body that he could offer in sacrifice. And let us ask Our Lady, the mother of every priest, to assist all those priests out there, to pray for more priests so that we will not have priestless parishes, that we will truly have the Eucharist for all of his children to have on a daily basis. And let us pray for those priests who are suffering, whether they are suffering injustices from their own priests, or if they're suffering an injustice in whatever way it may be. Pray for those priests who are maybe wavering in their priesthood and in their priestly commitment, that the devil may not snare them, as Pope Francis said. And pray for those priests who are full of zeal, that their zeal may be increased, that the fan, that flame, will be white hot for love of Jesus and his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.